Speaking of after shows, welcome back to Clear the Air, the Simply Stogies podcast after show. I'm your host, Tim. And like I do every 2 weeks, I bring the hosts of your favorite cigar podcast back to the microphones where we discuss the latest and greatest episode, probably the episode that you're watching again and again, just to get a little behind the scenes take about what's going on. For once, I'm finally smoking a Blackbird, a cigar for the podcast. That's right. It's going to be Blackbird Cigars with guests Jonas Santana and Miyagi Montez. But before we get to that, I have to introduce your favorite podcast hosts. We'll start with James. James, how you doing? What you smoking?
Are we talking about the PCA?
No. No, we're not.
Is that over? Is that done?
Yes, it is.
God, I still have nightmares about that. Thanks for having me, Tim. It's good to be back. It's good to see my friend Nicholas here as well. I know you're going to introduce him in a second and ask him the same stupid questions you asked me. I'm smoking.
They're not stupid questions.
Speaking of Nicholas, I'm smoking the Nicolas from our friend Nick Sears, LH Cigars. Great cigar, because I smoked all of my Blackbird. Every last one. That's how good it was. I smoked them all, and that superb. Like, you need to try it, Tim. It's really
I do fun. Need to try it. I was watching the episode, and I'm like, dang it, I don't have any superb, so I'm going to have to order some. But I went down to my humidor. I found quite a few cuckoo, and I found a few hawks, and I'm sitting right here trying to figure out which one I was going to smoke for this episode. Obviously you can see what I lit up, but way to play the game, James. Nick, there he is, the real hey. Talent behind the scenes. How you doing, Nick? What you smoking?
I'm unfortunately not smoking a Blackbird because
at least I came prepared.
Yes, you are prepared. I did not. I am smoking a, I believe now defunct, HR, Hiroshi Robina. This is a few years back by Omar Gonzalez Alamante and Hiroshi Robina.
It's defunct?
Yeah, it's gone.
Oh,
I mean, Hiroshi's still around. He's still in Cuba and he's still doing the Cuba stuff, but HR is no mas.
No mas.
That's bad. Coming from your little stash of like loose cigars that you have laying around that you're just trying to smoke through?
No, actually, I told you I have a good friend of mine who gives me every cigar known to man from every decade since the 90s, and he pulled this one out of his hat, and I said, you know what? I haven't had that in a long time, so what the hell? Hmm. It's the Blue Label one. They came out with the black originally, and it came out 2014, it was like $22 in 2014 dollars. So they were more than Davidoff's. And then they tried to regroup and come out with a lower price, you know, Blue Label, which is what I'm smoking now. And yeah, I mean, the guy comes from that pedigree.
In 2014, so that was a high-end cigar.
Very high-end. So that's got to be like $35 today.
Right. Yeah. I'm not going to do the math. I know James, he's probably doing the math in his head, but you know, nobody really cares that much.
I can't even spell math, Tim.
Yeah. It's four letters. I think it's, not doing it.
No.
Before we get into the episode, I think one more time, we have some friends located in the Kentucky area that have been so kind to us. And so one last time before the big event, I think we're going to put out some information, James.
Yeah,
and
that's
do
right.
It so well.
Yeah. No, look, reading the future is hard for those of you who understand how podcasts work. I don't know. I'm hoping that this last Friday on the live, you were able to catch Paul Wood from Luciano Cigars coming on, talking about the Mile Kentucky Herf, talking about the Luciano dinner. But look, this Friday, May 11th. You've got what, 3 days? 3 days to get your tickets if they're still available. I don't even know. It's $225 for the Mild Kentucky Herb. Our friends, Dwight Atkins, Stephen Ray at Fat Ash Cigar in Ashland, Kentucky, put on this Herb every year, and it's fantastic. That Friday, before is the pre-registration party, but there's also a Luciano dinner for $100. You get to come in. You're going to get some nice swag. I don't want to give it away. I don't know what all they have said you're going to get, but you're going to get some nice stuff. Very nice stuff for that dinner. Plus, you get to hang out with Luciano, with the man himself. and eat some food, smoke some cigars, have a lot of fun, then head back over to the registration party at Fat Ash. And look, that's Saturday, $225. This is what this is going to get you. It's going to get you one meal ticket. It's going to get you two beer tickets. So, you know, they're feeding you. They're giving you some adult libations, if you will. The food trucks there are always phenomenal. It's always a good time. There's going to be lifestyle vendors there. But look, the more important thing, I guess, I don't know if it's more important, but like the highlight of the event, it's a HERF, right? So it's all about the cigars. You're going to get 20 cigars over a box of cigars for your $225. Now look, here's who's going to be there that we know about for sure. 100%. My friend, my mentor. And I want you to call him Master Blender just so I can hear him.
Do it.
You want to hear him roll his eyes from wherever I'm at.
Can you see me rolling my eyes?
Yes, I can.
On camera.
Okay. Yeah. No, we'll make
the
sure.
The power of editing.
LH Cigars. Nick Sirius is going to be there. It's going to be a lot of fun. You get to talk to him about cigars, about the LH brand. You get to try stuff. Hopefully you'll have some Nicolas there. This is fantastic. The Nikos, the Sophos. All of his core line is fantastic. I don't know if he'll have any LE there. If he does, I might buy it all from him and just take it for myself because it's fantastic stuff. But Nick Sirius is going to be there. Our friend Luke Cross from Lure Cigars is going to be there. Chef Rick from West Tampa Tobacco and Sarah Rodriguez. I don't know if we can call her chef yet. Maybe sous chef.
I like that.
They'll be there. And of course, Luciano is going to be there. We also got Tom Lazuca, Asylum 13, Greg Free, Fortaleza Libre, Justo Aurora from JRE Tobacco and Aladino, Brian Motola from Cavalier Cigars. Great. Like, all of these are great brands, great cigars. This is your opportunity to hang out, talk with the principals, talk with the blenders, talk with the people behind it. Look, and there's also going to be, I know that Crown Heads is going to be there, as well. They're going to have Andy Yaffe there, I believe. And he's a good friend of mine. Love that dude. So look, you got to come down 3 days, $225. If you haven't got your ticket, now is the time to do it. Look, if you're listening to this after May 11th, you missed a hell of an event. It's always a hell of an event. It's a fantastic time. Give them a call, Fatish at 606-254-0484. I'm going to look at it just to make sure I still haven't memorized it. 606-254-0484. Tell them Simply Stogie sent you. I hope to see you there. We're going to have a lot of fun. And I just want to say one last time, I want to thank Stephen, Dwight, and everybody at Fat Ash for sponsoring us at the PCA trade show. I want to thank them for letting us sponsor their event and for inviting us there. It's going to be a great time. I can't wait to see Nick. I can't wait to see all of my friends. And hopefully, I'll see you there.
What do they get if they mention that Simply Stogie sent you?
Probably, those assholes sent you? Going to be too
fish. They do give you a nice swag as well, if I remember.
Yeah, correctly. It's always nice swag. Like I I've got some here. Not that, you know. Like this is a my old Kentucky HERF bottle opener. Oh, I had it upside down. There you go. My old opener. There's always here's a different one they had. I believe this was last year's another bottle opener.
Are you opening a lot of bottles?
No.
they're just sitting there.
No.
All right.
But their swag game is always on point. You're going to get a Luciano bag, a bunch of swag. It's a good time. And look, I don't even think I've mentioned this, but there's a social ticket too. So you can bring your wife, your boyfriend, your husband, your girlfriend, your significant other. And those tickets are $40 for the social ticket. And they're going to get the swag as well. They just don't get the cigars, but they're going to get the swag and the tickets and everything. So come down. It's a great time. It's always a lot of fun. I meet a lot of great people there every year. Kyle Clark, there's a bunch of people. I met Paul Wood there, the rep for Luciano, and he's like, everyone's just fantastic. It's the Midwest / South, and that's that Southern hospitality mixed with Midwest nice. You can't beat it. There's not a better event on the planet. You'll never convince me of that. And I go to Rocky Mountain Cigar Fest now almost every year. And like the last couple of years, like this year included, I spent $600
And yeah, the difference is that when you go to the Rocky Mountain Cigar Fest, you're not working. It sounds like this year you're going to be doing a little bit of working.
A little bit, but it's always fun. It's never work. Look, and Nick can speak to this because what Nick does is right. fun, right? It's he has a passion for it. And I have a passion for this, and I have a passion for Fat Ash, and I have a passion for lounges like Fat Ash, and I certainly have a passion and an appreciation and a love for the people that are there. And I wish
Fat Ash was in my neighborhood.
Me too, man.
Right.
Me too. Yeah. They're just really great, great people, down to earth. And they're so nice. They're so loving and they're so welcoming to everybody. When you walk in there, you're family. It's exactly what you want out of any lounge. I'm hoping to sit down with Dwight and get him on the podcast and talk about that culture that they've built there at Fat Ash and how it all came about, how Fat Ash came about, and then talk about how the Mile Kentucky Herf or Kentucky Herf came about. It's always a good time, and I'm looking forward to it. I'll be sad when it's over, but then I get to look forward to it, next year.
Well, every time that you mention it, it makes me sad even more that I'm not going this year, but I know that if I went, you'd be making me work. So I might be winning. I don't know.
No, because you're still missing out. And trust me, next year, I think you're going. I think you've already requested
it's on my
it
calendar. Yep.
Yeah. So next year, guess what? You get to work.
All right.
It'll be fun.
Well, let's move on, shall we?
Yes, let's.
We shall. So, like I said, Blackbird Cigars, we got introduced to Jonas and Miyagi. I don't know why I was going to say Miguel, Miyagi, which we have met at the trade show a few times. Great guy. Fun to talk to, fun to hang out with. But this was the first time. Yes, Jonas, this was the first time that you were on Simply Stogie's podcast. It was the first time that we actually got to know the guy.
Well, first time that we got to sit down and talk to him for more than 10 or 15 minutes.
But yeah, I mean, you get to know a little bit about the guy, but you don't get to know the guy.
Well, for sure. And look, I don't think you get to really know. You get to know what they choose to share when they come on the podcast. But here's what I could tell you about Jonas. Everyone that I know that knows Jonas loves Jonas. Right. Jonas is one of those guys. He's driven. He has a passion for what he does, both musically and in the cigar world. He's a smart. He's well spoken. He's a lot of fun to be around. He's high energy.
Sure.
So yeah, I enjoyed meeting him. You know, every year at the trade show and talking with him. And I remember last year at the trade show in 23. Bruce brought us over. Bruce was like, hey, I want to go talk to Jonas. I'm like, yeah, let's go. And so we went over and we talked with Jonas, and Bruce interviewed him for a few minutes. So we stood there and talked with him. And such a great dude and just absolutely generous with his time and his knowledge. And look, Miyagi's the same way. And I met Miyagi. I think I met Miyagi for the first time last year at the trade show as well.
Yeah. Yeah.
Bruce introduced us. And Miyagi's one of those guys, super knowledgeable in the industry. And he seems to gravitate towards these guys like Jonas. You know, we talked about it on the show with Alan from Family by Loyalty, and how he they're cut from the same cloth. So I'm super excited that Miyagi's working there, because he's so awesome. Like, I love Miyagi to death. Just a great guy. And there are things like, I think he talks to Lou every once in a while from Lure Cigars on some Discord group perfs, and Lou's got nothing but great things to say about Miyagi either. Like, these are two guys I don't think I've ever heard anybody in the industry say a negative word about.
Well, and we're going to kind of talk about, the marketing or, you know, how that happens. But I mean, that's the personality is part of what draws somebody to a product. It ripped in my mind.
Well, it is.
Funny of a question, huh?
Well, I think Nick can speak to this a little bit, but there was somebody at the trade show, and I'm not going to mention any names, but right. I, I, I said that they were a personality. And they got very offended. I remember that interaction. And they got very offended. And they're like, I'm not a personality. I'm a cigar manufacturer. I'm like, absolutely. That's not what I meant. It's not an, they're not mutually exclusive.
Right. And I wasn't trying to insinuate that.
No, but when you said that, that's what came to my mind.
Oh, okay.
Like, but he is a personality. And the person that said he wasn't, he so much is a personality. I don't think you could be more personality than that person.
Which isn't a bad thing.
I don't know why anybody would be offended, you know, by being called a personality. It means you have a personality. It's better than not having a personality, I would assume. You know, it's hard to sell cigars when you have no personality. So,
and this one, I don't think a lot of people understand, Nick, is because as I continue to fuck with my mic, because it's just not where I want it. You're a personality as well, and you have personality. And when you, we kind of, and this is in the future for a lot of you, for most of, or every one of you. When we talked to Miguel yesterday from Crown Heads, talk about selling. You have a passion for sales, and you're great at selling. You're great with talking with people, right? And it's your personality that comes through when you do that. And it's the same with everybody. You can be a cigar manufacturer like you are, Nick, and a personality. It's not a dirty word.
No, and like I said, personality, you have to have personality. And the other very important component, which I would say most manufacturers have, including Jonas at Blackbird, is you have to have such a passion for what you do. This is not an easy business. As much as it seems to people on the outside, to our listeners that are just cigar smokers thinking, oh, that must be the coolest job in the world, just to go around and smoke cigars and visit shops. Yeah, I wish that was all of it. You know, listen, if you don't love what you do, you're not going to do it, but you have to have a passion. And if you believe in your product, which I believe everybody that sells their product has to, because I don't see how you could sell anything if you don't believe in it. So with passion, personality, and it doesn't hurt to have a little sales ability. You move your product. But the key is, and we've talked to so many different manufacturers, that's what it's about, you know, meeting the consumers, meeting people that are smoking your cigars and enjoying them, hopefully. And then they get to meet the person behind the cigar, whether they're the sales, the national sales manager, or the actual blender, or the principal, or whatever the case may be. They all believe in their products. And I know that everybody loves when their products are being consumed. That makes them warm and fuzzy.
Yeah, I think personality is a major part in it. I mean, when we go to events, whether or we just go to a lounge, you know, and if the personality isn't there, you're not going to be drawn to that establishment or to the products that are inside of it. So, I mean, how many people during the trade show, not a lot, but a few that we walked by several times, and they're just sitting in a chair, kind of like waiting for somebody to come up and talk to them. You don't look like you have a personality that's going to draw me into you to ask questions.
Well, whoever those people are, they're not going to last very long, or they're going to figure it out very quickly, or at least they should, that if you can't, you got to go to them. You can't sit back and wait people to come to you. That's obvious in this business. In any business, you have to go out and proactively, you know, promote your brand, your product, whatever the case may be. And by doing so, you know, meeting the consumers that are doing, they have an extra connection to the brand. And that also makes them want to smoke the brand. If they have a shitty experience with you, if they don't like you, I would assume they're not going to smoke your stuff. So I guess it could be a double-edged sword for some, but hopefully not, you know. So.
Yeah, it's personality and experience. And then having a good product, you have that triangle of greatness. And I think you'll do all right. And
speaking of triangles, I mean, that's what I always thought of this industry as a triangle, and you need personality on the other side of the triangle, which is the retailers. If you have a host that's not somebody you like to see, guess what? You're not going to go visit that shop. If you don't feel comfortable in the shop, if you're not welcome, you're not going to go back. So you need personality in whatever part of this business you're in.
Yeah, it just stinks when the shops that have personality and make you feel welcome are so far away. I mean, a 2 hour drive is not much for us here in the Midwest. I know when you get to the coastlines and those are big drives, but it's not too bad here.
You know, I, and there's not a lot of shops that I would put in the same category as Fat Ash. There are a couple. Capital Cigar in Lincoln, I think, is in that category. When you walk in, your family, they want you to have that mini vacation, that experience that kind of takes you away from your problems and everything.
It also helps that they have a bar.
Sure. I don't drink, so I guess it helps you.
Yeah. Well, when I'm there, I'm with you. So
yeah. So there's well, I make you drink. I drive you to drink without a doubt. There's a couple others. The Cedar Room in Scottsdale.
That was a nice place.
Yeah, I like that. Up Down in Chicago. It's just you feel welcome. You feel at home. You feel like you have to have that kind of personality and that kind of culture. And to bring it back to Jonas, I think that he does that very well with us idiots in the media. Like he does. He's very, and a lot of these guys are. I don't want to make it sound like they're not. They very much are. They're very generous with their time, but Jonas is, Miyagi is. They're very generous with their knowledge as well. And so it's nice to have the interactions that we're able to have with Jonas and have his personality shine through.
Who scheduled the interview with Blackbird with Jonas?
That would be our friend Logan.
Logan.
Scheduler from the North.
Yes. Did Logan tell Jonas that this was a podcast or an Instagram live? Just going off of the camera angle. I was a little confused by that.
And she told him it was a podcast. He knew it was a podcast.
I saw that and I was thinking to myself, how did you guys say anything? Like, can you turn you're not going to tell Jonas what to do. Jonas is going to tell you what to do.
Yeah, it's not that. Is it that big of a deal? I mean,
no.
Look, our numbers come, the majority of it come from listeners, not viewers. We get a lot of viewers on YouTube for sure. More than we did when we started, a year ago. Most of our stuff is listed, so I don't really worry about it. I really don't, and I think that viewers are forgiving of that. They know that technology works certain ways, and like this is how he's used to having his phone. I'm certainly not going to correct him, and honestly it doesn't make that big of a difference.
It really doesn't. I agree with you. I found that humorous because we had any interviews in the past with the vertical camera.
Yeah, I did one with I used this camera and then I used my phone when doing an interview with Jeremy Castagley.
Oh, that's
year.
Right. Yeah.
It was about March of last year that I did that, and I used my phone. I had my phone vertical, not horizontal, because I just wasn't thinking, because I'm so used to when I use my phone, it's vertical. Mm-hmm. So it happens. It is what it is.
Yeah. It is. Let's move on to Black.
I want to know how many people paused what we were talking about right there and then went back to look at the video and went, oh yeah, I think we have to talk about that.
I would be shocked if anybody did, but hey, I think we have an email or Instagram, the whole nine yards, so you can contact us and let us know. Blackbird for the modern minded consumer.
I don't think it's modern minded. I think it's the modern consumer.
Is it modern consumer? So look.
What I mean by that is it's very much they're going after Gen Z and the millennials as well. They should. I think more manufacturers need to do that, Tim. I really do. I don't know why.
The Gen Zs and the younger consumers aren't even noticing the vertical camera because they're used to that, right?
Exactly.
That's a good point. That's a good point. You know? Yeah, I mean, I don't disagree. I mean, the way that they're doing some of their advertising you guys talked about it for what seemed like forever, which, by the way, Nick, thank you for asking, how do we find Jonas's music? Because that was, you were talking, whoops, sorry, as I professionally bumped my microphone, we were, you guys were talking about it for a little bit. And then, so I went over and I was looking on my music platforms and I'm trying to Jonas, Blackbird, I'm searching, couldn't find them. So then you asked, so hopefully that's in the show notes.
Yeah, I was doing the same thing while we were doing the interview. I was like, I looked everywhere and I couldn't find him. And once he finally gave his correct name on Spotify and all that. And I tell you what, you know, his videos are very well done. You know, it's definitely, I forgot what he called it, but it's kind of a reggaeton rap style, you know, class. And spending a lot of time in Cuba, yeah, there's very similar, all that Latin music. It's got a cool beat, you know, and definitely, I enjoy all music. I did like it, you know, and I got to tell you, the production value was excellent and well done videos.
Yeah. I mean, he's got a background in graphic design and I don't know, he's like a jack of all trades or something. Cause he just, like you guys said, he wears so many hats. So I have to imagine growing up with music and listening to it and watching, you know, you kind of get an idea of, okay, this is my vision. How do I bring it to my listener or my viewer? Which is what we poorly do sometimes when we produce things like this.
Well, I think that's the coolest thing about Jonas and Blackbird. I mean, that brand took to the market because of their unique branding, you know, their colorful boxes, their bands, and the whole music element, you know, where he was able to take two of his passions and kind of mesh them as well as they can be meshed. I mean, the whole idea of listen to a playlist while you're smoking a cigar, very, very cool stuff.
I see that to me is interesting because I like to listen to music. You know, the blackened Metallica blackened bourbon, you know, they have, which with each bottle, with each batch, they have a playlist that is played while the bourbon is aging. So yeah, I'm that guy that's going to look up that playlist and listen to the music while I'm enjoying that product. So I don't think it's so outside of the box like James was kind of trying to ask. I'm still not sure what that question was.
It is out of the box. And I'll tell you why, because there's no other manufacturer does that. No other cigar manufacturer says, I have a playlist that you should listen to while you're smoking my cigar. Nobody has that. He is the only one. Now, you know, I'm a big fan of heavy metal, hard rock. And so that's what I listen to because that's what relaxes me. I know that seems counterintuitive.
I don't know if relax is the right word.
Well, it puts me in a headspace to not yell at you so much, Tim.
I feel like it just allows you to more clearly think about how you would murder me.
Well, more. Yeah, I could definitely articulate it a little bit better when I'm listening to it. But nobody else does it. So it is out of the box thinking. Nobody else that I know of has an AR bird that you can, you know, scan with a QR code and have that come up while you're smoking their cigar. No, these are out of the box ideas that I do believe are geared to the new generation of smokers. It is not geared towards old white guys like myself who smoke cigars. Now, while I can appreciate it, I am not his demographic.
At the same time, I'm the technology guy. I love that cool technology stuff. And you're the one that actually did the AR bird and then told me, it's kind of cool. I still haven't looked at it.
That's not shocking at all that you haven't looked at
it. Mr. Technology.
Yeah, I mean, technology the AR stuff. But whatever. I didn't do it. But I did. It is cool. And it is outside the box thinking. So that question was more to get him. It wasn't that it was looking for a specific answer. It was more to get him to give me why he's decided to go this route. Because the safe route is to do what everybody else does. And this industry, and I don't mean this in a negative way. I don't. Right. But this industry is such an industry of followers. And what I mean by that, let me quantify it before you crucify me, is that if something works for one brand, all the other brands, they're like lemmings. They will just get behind and go, yeah, we're going to do the same thing because it works. And it works. And it works. There's not a lot of innovation. Look, and there's people like Humidif Group.
I was going to bring them up. Yeah,
that are trying to change the game. You know, with their QR codes and their NFCs that you can put your phone on, and it'll take you to the website. And there is some of that kind of leaking, dripping, if you will, into the industry. But this industry, and it's not a criticism as much as it is an observation. It's pretty stagnant as far as marketing goes. And look, we're limited, and we've had this conversation ad fucking nauseum lately in this industry, is that we are limited to where cigar manufacturers can advertise. We're extremely limited.
Sure.
We're just as limited as they are. We can't advertise on Facebook. We can't advertise on Instagram. We can't advertise on X.
Facebook won't take our money.
No, not for this. I mean, they'll take our money, but not for this.
No.
So it's nice to see a manufacturer like Blackbird who goes out of their way to grab people's attention. And it's like Nick said, you can grab people's attention all day with the color of the boxes and the bands and be colorful and loud. But if your cigars are shit, no one's going to buy it. Right.
It's not a second time.
Right. And I don't think that Blackbird cigars are shit. I think they're very, very good cigars. I wanted him to start to speak to that. And I just was trying to prime the pump a little bit. And he didn't understand what I was trying to get at. So, you know, just we kind of explain it and then move on.
But he was very excited, full of energy. And I think that's his personality. But I think what has given him that extra drive is 2024, as he said, you know, right out of the chute, has been, you know, just shot out of a cannon. And he's doing so much more business, and he's excited about, you know, the future of Blackbird, and that will pump you up for sure.
Well, is that due to a new product release, a new cigar to the core line?
I think in general, I think just the brand is just getting more legs and just starting to, you know, it's the snowball effect that happens. I think with all his events and all his appearances and Miyagi with the sales, I think all those factors go into it to give him continued success and increase sales for 2024 and on.
I don't think it's a product so much as it is how they're marketing that product. Now, look, they've always been colorful. They've always been grab your attention in the humidor, right? They always have. And they've been around for what, 5 years, 6 years, like 7 years? Yeah,
something
years?
Like that.
They've been around for a minute. And it's just lately, like it was 2 years ago when they came out with that AR Bird. And then they came out this just a month before the trade show, and they said outright, like, we are going after millennials. We're going after Gen Z. We're going after these newer smokers, these newer cigar guys, the newer folks in the lifestyle, in the hobby. Nobody else is. Nobody else is. Like, Padron's not changing their game.
No, yeah, Drew Estates has really had that market before. But the reason why I welcome brands like Blackbird to the mix and to the industry is because, you know, not putting any shade on Drew Estates, but they're grabbing the millennials with their acid line and the flavored cigars and infused. And I'm just not a fan of the infused stuff. So when you're getting the millennials and the new smokers and you're bringing them to real premium cigars, that's, in my opinion, worth every penny. And there are not enough people that are doing it. And Blackbird is, I think, leading the charge, you know. I think Drew Estates did well. And the one thing, as much as I don't like the acid and all those cigars, I do like the fact that those smokers eventually find their way to a premium cigar. So you could see Blackbird being kind of the shortcut, you know, like if they can get them into a Blackbird instead of an acid, totally different product. You can't even compare out, you know, it's not apples to apples. But you get them into a premium cigar and you start them off with the right cigar and the right, you know, approach, I think it shortens that learning curve, in my opinion. But
see, I don't necessarily disagree with you, Nick, at all. But I do think that while Drew Estate marketing is like their infused line does target new smokers, and they do have this edgy, like, street cred kind of New York big city hip hop kind of thing going on. That's more, see, that's Gen Z. To me, that's Gen Z through and through, because, or not Gen Z, Gen X. That's Gen X through and through, because that's, I grew up on that kind of hip hop, on the Run DMCs of the world, and the Beastie Boys, and that kind of edgy. It was very retro edgy hip hop marketing with the rat and the graffiti and all this stuff. And they've kind of gotten away from that now, and they've kind of tried to mature a little bit, but they still have a little bit of that edginess. That's very much Gen X. Where these guys, where what Jonas is doing to me is very much Gen Z. Very much millennial, very much. It's a different demographic that they're catering to. Now they both might be going after the same new folks in the industry, but they're trying to grab those folks in what I think is decidedly different ways. One is retro and one is very modern and very, not, it's not that edgy like a Gen Xer. It's very, modern is the best word.
It's like young professional.
Yeah,
kind of.
Yeah, it is. It's during the week, like you can smoke our cigar and have fun, like he said, you know. But on the weekend, like, we're gonna have something for you. It's gonna be a little more expensive. It's gonna be this. It's gonna be that. I think it's just it's a different. They're going after the same. Like,
well, acid started a long time ago, James. I mean, when acid first was launched, I mean, that was the time. That was the current, you know, the Gen Zs of the time. Yeah. They've just kind of evolved. So time has passed. So they don't have a product that's newer or marketed towards the newer smokers.
And that's you make a good point. So I guess my question to you, Nick, is do you think that Blackbird could be the new Drew Estate in 5-10 years?
If they continue to grab that market, that's definitely the plain, you know, that's the blank canvas that you can start from scratch. And sure, you know, listen, Drew Estate started, you know, in a kiosk. You know, Jonathan Drew was selling cigars in a kiosk, you know, in Times Square or in one of the buildings when he was a lawyer. So, you know, anything's possible. You know, if he continues down the path and he's getting all these new smokers that are going to mature and evolve, you know what? It's not a bad idea.
So if it's something, if this method of going after the younger smokers and bringing them into the industry, if that works very well for Blackbird, being that the industry is full of followers,
Oh yeah, you're going to see. Listen, imitation is the best
form of flattery.
So you know what? If it is proven. And other people are going to notice it, and they're going to say, "Hey, look! Look what Blackbird's done in the last few years." And you're right; they may have some people following in their footsteps.
Well, you're right, and I think they will. But I don't, like, here's the thing with Jonas. Jonas is a very creative individual, right? And so he creates not just cigar blends and helps tweak them and validate them and works with his master blender to get what he wants, but he also He's an artist. He is a hip hop artist. He is a musical artist. There are not, and I'm sure there are musically inclined guys and gals in the cigar industry. I just don't know if there's anybody that's on that same level creatively or musically. I mean, Pete Johnson is one, but again,
Ernesto Perez Carrillo was a accomplished drummer. I mean, there were people.
Look at
Lucci,
absolutely. And look at Luciano. Luciano is he's an accomplished musician as well. I'm not taking anything away from them, but their style of music is decidedly different. Like, Luciano sings opera.
Which is crazy.
Which is insane.
Now that we went to that dinner, I can see that actually. Yeah.
It's insane, but it's not going to grab. It's not going to grab Gen Z. It's not going to grab millennials. It might grab a very, very small percentage of those new cigar lifestyleists, hobbyists, enthusiasts, aficionados, whatever you want to call them. But it's not going to grab. It's just a different, like, it's going to have to be somebody in the same age ranges as Jonas, in the same millennial Gen Z, that has that passion, that's able to really tap into the zeitgeist of those two generations. And bring something forward like him. they will, there will be certainly be people that try to mimic it, but I don't know if anybody will be able to do it on the creative level that Jonas does it.
You just said a whole lot of words.
I'm sorry. Do I need to explain what Zeitgeist is, Tim? Are you not sure what that is?
He needs it to kind of just sink in there for a second.
He's a thesaurus. I'll get you a thesaurus.
You do what I do a lot of times where I'm rambling on and then I get to the end and I'm like, I didn't really give a lead there. I just kind of left everybody hanging.
Well, you're the host. I figured you'd just, you know, be able to move on, but I guess.
Come on, host. Come on, do your thing, host. Well, here's the show.
Here's the thing. I think if you're going after the younger crowd, I think technology or bringing in technology is a great idea. Some things will work. Some things probably won't work. But if you're bringing in that technology, I think that eventually you're going to discover new ways to promote the products, which you can't do on the platforms that we have today.
Here's a very simple idea that I am shocked that more manufacturers have not done to kind of bring some of these younger, of age, legal, but younger, this younger generation into it more and to get them excited about. Something very simple would be a QR code as a shelf talker at your local B&M. And they scan the code and it takes you to the website and it tells you all about that cigar that you just scanned. And so you can pick that cigar up, you can scan it, you can go buy it, you can then go sit down in the lounge.
They're out there, James.
Yeah, they're out there.
But there's not a lot. I have yet to walk into a lounge and see one. Like, I haven't. Like, so I don't know if the retailers are just like, screw it. Like, my whole, all my patrons are old white guys. Like, they're not going to do that.
Yeah, and that's probably the case in a lot of lounges is if the customer base is primarily the older guys. I love QR codes, but I don't know if I'm going to walk into a humidor and scan a QR code.
I've never heard somebody
technology. What are you talking about?
I've never heard someone say I love QR codes.
I love QR codes. I really do.
When you walk into a restaurant and like there's no menu, there's just a QR code, you're like, oh my God, this place is fantastic already.
Well, we got to see how the food is, just like we got to see how the cigars are, right? I got a wedding invitation in the mail the other day and I loved it. It was a picture on the front end. It told me the date, who and the date. I flipped it over, QR code, took the picture. It told me everything else, allowed me to register online, the whole nine yards.
You're a weird dude.
I love the simplicity.
You're a weird dude. I'm going to tell you what I tell Aaron. You're a very specific dude with very specific tastes.
Yeah, I am. I wish they had QR codes on every box that linked to a database where I could scan the code. It would tell me everything about that cigar. When was that box packaged?
Who rolled it? Who was the roller? Right. Like,
yeah,
not just like the stuff that you expect, right? Like binder, filler, wrapper.
Don't bring me to a website, just a web page that tells me the simple stuff.
A short video of your roller rolling.
Oh, that would be cool. Did he roll this cigar, this specific cigar? But I think
you're getting a little ridiculous.
Yeah. But at the same time,
but you saw how excited Tim got for that.
I did. Yeah. But at the same time, that obviously is going to cost money, which is going to drive the price up. It's going to cost time. And if your manufacturer has no interest in the technology, they're not even going to think about it.
Again, this is an industry that has done things the same way for a very long time, and I get it. It's going to take a while to kind of move that needle forward, but there are folks like Jonas who are moving it forward. And when you talk about cost, Tim, we're already in the day of the $20 cigar. So if we're already spending $20 for a cigar, how much more is that really going to cost?
Well,
it's the cost of the website. It's the cost of the time to make the short little video. It's the cost a time to pay somebody to write shit, have ChatGPT write it. Like, who cares? Because literally, guess what? Like, you're going to sit in the lounge, you're going to read it, right? You're going to be reading it. And then your buddy, like Tim's going to be like, oh, did you scan that QR code? I love QR codes, man. They're the greatest. I wish there was a QR code on everything. And then I'll put it down and be like, Tim, shut the fuck up. Like, what's wrong with you? Like, it's a QR code. Fuck off.
Wow. I mean, okay, Nick, you have a factory. Have you ever thought about putting QR codes on your product?
Briefly.
Briefly. But was it the cost that said, no, not today?
Well, it goes against, you know, what I'm doing, you know, especially with the Nick, you know, marketing, which is no marketing, you know, simple boxes, simple bands, you know, having a simple band and then putting a QR code that gives you a video of the roller saying, hey, we rolled that exact cigar. I mean, it's a great idea.
You can't get that far down the rabbit hole.
What if it just took you to like the LH MySpace page?
Yeah, there you go.
Is that still a thing?
You would know.
Wow. Okay. All right.
You would.
This took a wrong turn.
MySpace.
I'm paying to get that back up. I don't care. The domain has got to be available.
I'm still trying to get my Napster to work too.
Napster.
It's still stuck downloading that Metallica song.
Yeah. Careful. Metallica will sue you.
All right. Let's talk about calendars. Holy shit. When you have to schedule on your calendar family time, which is kind of the way I feel that I have to do, because James is like, I need this, I need this, I need that, I need this.
I was going to say, yeah. Well, look, there are a lot of folks, type A personality, especially, which I think Jonas would agree, he's a type A personality.
Sure.
Where if he doesn't schedule that, he won't get family time. Because he will just work and work and work because he's so driven and he's so passionate about it. And it's not to say that he doesn't love his family and he doesn't want to spend time with them. It's they're important enough to him that he's going to schedule that. And look, I respect that because we just talked with Miguel yesterday, Shadell from Crown Heads and Oz Family Cigars, and John Huber. Huber is the same way. I work from 9 to 5, and after 5, it's family time. I don't do anything else. So he doesn't do events. He doesn't do, and it works for them. Mm-hmm. This works for Jonas. He has figured out a way to spend time with his family while still hitting every goal and every metric that he has for himself and for his company. And so kudos to him. I think that's fantastic.
No, I agree. That's an amazing thing. If that works and he can schedule it that way, you know, we didn't have iPhones. I didn't have iPhones growing up, you know what I mean, where I could do that. But you know what? I wish I could have, and I would have done the same, because time keeps going and it goes faster and faster the older you get. And before you know it, your kids are all grown up, and then all the time you missed. I mean, I remember my father telling me the same stuff in another totally different generation. All they did was know how to work, you know, and they didn't realize how much they really missed out on raising those kids. And, you know, for Jonas to be cognizant of that, that's, you know, it's a tough juggling act, but it's an important juggling act. And the more time you spend with your kids at all period of their lives is so more important than any success you can have in any business. So like you said, kudos to Jonas for doing that.
I like the idea, and I always wanted to kind of be like that, because you always put your important events on the calendar. At least that's what I primarily do. And when you look at that, you're like, boy, I've got a whole lot of free time. But the reality is you don't, because you're doing all these other things that aren't on your calendar. And I think if you are goal focused, then having all those things on your calendar and being like, okay, got to do this, got to do that, got that done, moving on, you can show that you did all these things. You accomplished all of these things.
Well, not just accomplish those things, but do it and not let your family life suffer.
Right.
And Jonas does that, and he's, you know, I he loves his family. I think that's obvious to anybody who listens to that or watches that video. That interview with him, and you know, back in my day, as old folks say, I just had a Franklin Covey planner. Like, that's what I use. And Tim's laughing. Like, you can't see it. Tim's laughing.
I can picture it.
Daytimer.
Yeah. It's basically a day planner.
My wife still uses
one. No, there was a brand called Daytimer. Yep. That's what I used to use as a kid.
And so when you use that, there's no reminders. You have to look in it constantly, see what's going on. So yeah, with the advent of technology, it's kind of great. Cause I got a reminder, hey, you've got to clear the air episode in 10 minutes. I'm like, oh.
Oh, I love those reminders. I have to set them. Otherwise, I'll forget them. Because I don't look at my, like, I'll look at my calendar at the beginning of the day. But 5 minutes after I close my calendar, I've already forgotten what's going on in the afternoon. So if I don't have those reminders, well, I'm getting there. Well, not as old as you.
No, but you'll be as old as me one day. Then you'll understand why I said it's because you're old.
Oh, I already know. We need better calendar action during the trade show. We got to bring it up some way. Jesus
Christ. Okay. All right. Well, moving on. No more trade show talk for at least 6 months. God damn it.
Put it in the calendar.
Yeah, I'll put it in the calendar. No trade show talk for 6 months.
But he's doing 5,000 things. He's running 100 miles an hour in his head. He's doing it physically. I mean, you got to keep track of all that stuff.
Well, and he started his own factories. You know, that's not an easy task at all. That is a monumental feat to open your own factory and get that up and running to where he's got it up and running to and putting out, producing the kind of cigar numbers that he's producing.
Well, and like they were talking on the podcast, having your own factory just makes everything so much easier.
Yeah, I think the more, and I know Nick.
I'm looking for Nick's answer because he's kind of bobbing his head there.
Well, I think the more vertically integrated you are as a company, especially as any company, but in this case, cigar company, the better off you are because you're not relying on anyone else outside of, you know, the vertical integration that you've set up from farm to factory to shelf, right? Like, so as long as the more of those systems you can have internally, the better off you are. But I'm sure Nick has thoughts on that.
Well, that's 100% true. It takes a lot to get there and you do it, you know, element by element. In our case, it was difficult getting boxes. I used to get my boxes done in Nicaragua when I first started out. It was less money. And even with the shipping back then, it was definitely doable. But there came a point where it was just too much of a headache. Then trying to source out people in Costa Rica to make boxes, that turned out to be a nightmare. And the only solution that we came up with is we have to have our own, you know, box factory. And that took a while. You know, there's you got to do piece by piece. And you get somebody like Nick Perdomo, who is probably one of the most vertically integrated brands I've ever come across to date. I mean, that guy's got everything from his own cellophane producing. I mean, everything, his own farms. He does everything in-house. There is nothing that he sources outside with maybe a few tobaccos, but most, I'd say 99% of what he's producing is coming out of somewhere in his organization. And that took, I mean, Nick Perdomo's been around for a long time, you know, 30 plus years. But, you know, the more you can do it, the more successful you can. Not that it has to be done that way. I mean, you got people like Rocky Patel that, you know, man doesn't have his own factory. Well, now he does, but, you know, for years he just had, and there's a lot of brands. Look at Crown Heads. We were talking about Crown Heads. They are using various factories in various countries, and there's a lot of juggling that has to happen to make that happen. And again, if you're on top of it, you know, it can be done both ways. But if there's a better way, yeah, if you can do it all in-house, that would definitely be the better way. But it takes a lot of, you know, time, effort, money, and resources, people. In Jonas's case, you know, his brother, it sounds like he's very much involved on the factory side of things. And as he mentioned several times in the interview, he's got a good team of people, and you need to have a good team of people. And that doesn't come so easy these days, you know?
Amen to that.
Yeah. God, I really wish I could find a host for Clear the Air. That when I just drop off at the end of the sentence, like he could just move.
Yeah. Submit your resume to CTA at simplystogies.com.
Well, he can also, he's Mr. Technology, so he can edit that extra 3 or 4 seconds of dead air in there.
That's true. He can. So, yeah. People are going to be like, what is he talking about? There's no dead air. Tim's not going to edit that out. He's going to leave it.
Well, see, that's the problem, though. When you talk about it, you almost have to leave it in. You just shorten it just a little bit.
It wasn't that at all.
We'll see when we go to review the footage.
Whatever.
Beautiful bean footage.
Yeah, you review that beautiful bean footage. All you. I'm tired of reviewing footage.
I liked how, you know, when you asked how, where do you see the company in 5 years? I thought that was a really good question. And I really liked, I was not expecting Jonas's answer at all.
That is a very, I'm trying to word this just the right way. That is a very lofty goal to have.
Yeah,
I think it's a good goal to have. Sure, I think I like it. I like where your head's at. And I know Nick can speak to this better than I can, but I think it takes something very special to end up on anyone's top five list.
Absolutely. You know, I mean, it's great aspirations, and you got to dream big, you got to fake it till you make it, and you got to shoot for the stars. So all those things I expected from Jonas, just, you know, the short time that I've gotten to know him, you know, that was a great answer. And, you know, I hope he, you know, all his dreams come true.
I wonder if he put it in his calendar 5 years out on this day specific.
You know,
it's a people's choice is what he's looking for.
Well, yeah. And look, there are guys that do that. They write down. They and that's part of that type A personality, right? If you write it down, you're kind of willing it out there into the ether. And there are guys that are able to do that and make that happen. I'm not one of those. I could write down that, you know, we're bigger than Joe Rogan. It's just never going to happen. I'm more of a realist than I am a dreamer. But you're
going to need a different host if you want to get there.
Different than me. Maybe Joe will come on one day and we get that Joe Rogan bump. We could just talk about cigars and conspiracy theories, because that's all I really want to do. I think that would be fun. But yeah, I hope that his dreams come true. I hope everyone's dreams come true. I'm rooting for Jonas. I like his brand. I love what he's doing, marketing wise. I love his vision. I love how they're going after new cigar smokers and trying to bring even, you know, more people into this hobby, into this lifestyle. And so I really am rooting for him, but that is a lofty, lofty goal. And it's not impossible. I don't think it's impossible, but it takes a lot of luck, I think, as well. I think he's got the skill.
Well, I think he's got the drive factors, too. You know,
like what factors would you say kind of go into Nick making a top five list, even the People's Choice top five list?
The first thing that comes to mind is money, and lots of it, because, as you know, to get into a top, and he's talking about People's Choice, that's a hard thing to kind of, you know, quantify. But, you know, if you have a lot of money, it's been proven you don't necessarily have to have the best cigar to get into those lists. Not this, I don't put shade on any of the top five today, but all those, if you look at the top five brands today, they all got lots and lots and lots of money.
I'm trying not to say cigar aficionado pay to play. I'm really trying hard not to say that.
Yeah.
But you did it anyway.
I did it anyway because I wasn't really trying.
Yeah.
It's like Nick's just like staring daggers at me right now. Like,
I bet. But no, listen, money would be the first thing. You know, yeah, you could have all the right desire and effort and work. But yeah, luck. Everybody says, you know, oh, look how lucky this guy is. I hate when people say successful people are lucky. I think there's a little bit of magic that needs to, you know, sprinkle some pixie fairy dust on top of it. You definitely need a little bit of that, but, you know, successful people create their own luck. And, you know, I think Jonas has the right personality that, you know, listen, I wouldn't discount that. I mean, you have to have the dream. When you write the dream down, it becomes a goal. And then achieving that goal is just one day at a time to get there. So he's got 5 years. We'll go back in 5 years and see if he's reached that. And you never know. We could say, hey, he said it first on our podcast. You know, and here it is.
get some of that Blackbird bump.
There yeah, that's all we need. We need a Jonas bump. Nick's not wrong, but I mean, for me, and I can't speak for either one of you, but for me, I can't think of a cigar that I've liked in the last 5 years where I thought, man, this is really fucking good. That's made any of the big top five, top 25s even. I can't think of one.
Oh, that have been in other lists.
Well, because that's not the only factor. I mean, I've said it a million times. If you could create the perfect cigar, the magic cigar that no matter who smokes it, they love it and it's their favorite cigar. If there was some kind of magic potion that could be put into cigars, it doesn't still mean it's going to be a top 10, 25 cigar without a lot of marketing and people behind it.
Yeah, no, I don't think you're wrong. I don't think you're wrong. And I honestly hope that Jonas gets it. It couldn't happen to a nicer guy. You know, because he really does. He brings everybody in like Miyagi feels like family. The people that he surrounds himself are either literally family or he makes them feel like family. And so.
But that's a common theme with every successful manufacturer, that the people that like working where they work, it's one thing to be in the industry. If people say, oh, I love cigars, I want to be in this industry. And for everybody that's in this industry, there's a lot of smokers or aficionados and people that want to be in the business, because they think it's, you know, all fun and games, but it's not. There's a lot of work involved as well. But if you love what you do and you work with people that you like being around and you have a common goal and you surround yourself with the right people, that's what it takes. So I think he's on his way.
Well, do you guys have any other topics that you wanted to touch on before we get out of here?
No, other than I want to thank Jonas and Miyagi for coming on and spending the time with us. Great guests, great people, great cigars. Go give them a shot. If they're not in your local B&M, ask for it by name, Blackbird Cigars. You won't be disappointed. He's got something for everybody. He's got something special coming out, like he said, hopefully later this year, that's going to be in that $20, that ultra premium range. So he literally will have something for everyone in every budget. And, you know, I wish them continued success because it couldn't happen to a nicer guy.
I'm going to keep my eye on him. That's for sure.
Anybody have?
bizarre clear the air today.
Yeah.
Align it and send it, I guess.
Eat this out there. Yeet it.
Any good last minute bird puns? Because what the wind what, beneath
the,
your
the wind
wings?
Beneath, wasn't like, that good? Wasn't that good? I waited all podcasts to get that out. I thought I was being very clever, but apparently not. Fuck off. Fuck right off.
That was a way to end that show. So I figured I'd try to do the same.
Yeah. No. Nothing here really. I mean, you're the anchor. That brings me the fuck down. Does that work? I mean, it's not a bird pun, but I mean,
it's an anchor. Okay.
The opposite, I guess.
Oh. Well, James, tell us what's coming up in the near future and log us on out.
Man, I'll tell you what. So, this is what I'm going to hope is going to happen, but it's going to depend on time and my level of being able to do this. Hopefully, next week, which will be May 15th, we'll have an interview with Dwight Adkins and Steven from Fat Ash Cigar. We'll be talking about Fat Ash. We'll be talking about my old Kentucky Herb. We'll be talking about all of those things. I've been wanting to get Dwight on the podcast proper for a couple of years now because I want you to know him a little bit of the way that I know him. Such a great guy. And I want you to understand how he's been so successful in the short time that Fat Ash has been open, which is only about 5 years, maybe 6 years now. So I'm hoping that's the case. If not, it'll be Miguel Shadell from Crown Heads and Oz Family Cigars. One of those. Otherwise, they will have to clear the air for whichever one that is after that. And then June 1st, we'll have Lou Cross from Lure Cigars on, brand new company. If you haven't tried to go check them out, but then we'll have to clear the air after that. And then from there, we got so many guests coming up. We've got Ben from Luxury, like I just said, Miguel Shadell from Crown Head Oz Family Cigars. We got a lot of stuff, but look, go to the website, simplystogies.com. Check us out there. You can sign up for the LE Club, become an LE Club member, $10 a month, $100 a year. That is your minimum. That is the price of entry. And that's going to let you come on our HERF once a month, where we have a live on the first Friday of every month. Hang out with us, ask myself some questions, Tim some questions, Nick, if he's around, you can ask him some questions. But look, it's always a good time. So check us out. You can also see all the reviews and everything that we put out there on simplystogies.com as well. But look, that's going to do it for us. That's going to do it for Clear the Air. So for Tim and for Nick, till next time, stay smoky, friends.